Nearly 2 million children in the U.S. today have one or both parents in the military, many of whom are deployed. Parenting is a tough job for all of us, but for families in the military, raising children can pose a unique set of challenges and concerns. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Rebecca Childress with the Family Advocacy Program at Quantico Marine Base. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Today, we'll discuss the special needs of families in the military, as well as how parents can find support and navigate the often challenging life of a military family. So parenting is not easy, and we know it can be even harder for families in the military. What are some of the common experiences that cause challenges?
Right. Well, I think most of us, when we think of the military families, we automatically think of deployment. But we have to make sure that we expand our thinking to also include even those families who maybe aren't deployed, but they're still serving stateside and they're still facing very long work hours. They're facing frequent moves. About every 3 years or so, military families generally can expect to receive orders, pack their bags, and maybe stay on the same coast, maybe not stay on the same coast, maybe move to even a different location across the world. And so what that means for the military family, it means a new community. For the children, it means a new school. It means separation from the friends that they've been working to establish those friendships with, sports teams, school activities. So new friends and family, very routine.
So I know you all spend a lot of time on prevention, on trying to prepare families for some of those challenges and transitions. What are some of the things parents can do proactively?
Right. Well, just like any family, children are going to thrive on routines. And so one of the common threads that we may have with children in the military is just establishing that routine. And so even though there may be some chaos going on, even though moving trucks may be pulling up and pulling away with your favorite belongings and you're not sure when you're going to be able to see them again, as long as the mom and the dad and the caregivers can try to establish that routine, it can still create an environment where the children can thrive. And again, just continuing to talk about the feelings and the emotions that are going on about that separation, about that move, about the new circumstances.
So one thing is trying to provide stability even when things are in transition, but have some sort of sense of stability. And then second is that communication of how do we talk about the feelings that we're having and the transitions that are going on and the uncertainty.
Right, absolutely.
So let's talk about deployment. When it comes to deployment, do children sometimes have a hard time reconnecting or bonding when the parent comes back home?
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. I think more frequently than not, we hear from the families that we're serving that, yes, they are having some reconnection issues. We do have some families that seem to reestablish those bonds a little bit more quickly than others. Sometimes it depends on the ages and stages of the child. So, for example, sometimes younger children, you may have one child who seems to bounce back a little more quickly, and you may actually have another child of the same age who they seem to struggle to reestablish that bond. We've talked to some families who, for example, the spouse who was not deployed will say to us, dad or mom has been gone for the past 9 months, the past 10 months, and now my child is not being as affectionate or they're not going to seek them for advice. And so we talk about how to reincorporate that family member who was absent during those times, how to reincorporate them back into the routine. And so, again, going back to having that routine and easing the service member back into the routine and having responsibilities for that service member to do, whether it be little things like helping the children brush their teeth at night or helping their children get the breakfast in the morning or helping them with homework. Little things like that, those little moments that parents share together can help reestablish those bonds. And slowly but surely, that child can start opening back up to the service member.
Great. If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today, and I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Rebecca Childress from Quantico's Family Advocacy Program. So, unfortunately, the return from deployment can bring challenges and sometimes very serious issues. Tell us a little bit more about suggestions that you have for parents as they're preparing for that reconnection and reunification.
One of the things that I would definitely suggest is to educate yourself on all the programs and all the services that are available. I know we're going to talk in a little bit about support systems, but jumping a little bit to that already, educate yourself on what support systems are available. No one is able to do this completely on their own. And you don't have to do it on your own. There's a lot of support systems out there that are available to help you with that transition. There's programs that are available to help you talk to your children about feelings. There's support systems available to assist when the service member returns. And so, again, you don't have to do this alone. So reach out through the websites that are available on your base or on your post or wherever it is that you might be serving. Find out what community services are available and then take advantage of those community services. That's why they're there. They're there to help you ease that transition. And so, again, just keeping the good baseline down of the routines, having the bedtimes at about the normal time, having the dinners at about the normal time, and then talking about it and preparing. Some families do fun and creative things, like they have a countdown calendar. They put a deployment calendar on the wall, and they count those deployment days down until mom or dad return. And so there's fun ways to do it as well.
Great. So it sounds like you're sort of promoting both informal and formal support systems. And so part of it is sort of acknowledging that asking for help is a strength, not a sign of weakness, and that we can ask for help from friends and neighbors and other parents who may be going through some of the same things, but also some of those more formal support systems within the military itself.
Absolutely. And the informal support system, it may be something as simple as, for example, your child joins a sports team and someone on the sports team says, hey, you know, would you like for me to give your child, you know, a ride to practice? It's sometimes difficult to let ourselves be vulnerable and to accept that assistance because we are very strong in the military family. And so we're trying to maintain that strong front. We're trying to say, you know what, I've got this. And yes, you do have it, but it's okay to accept that help from the informal support system. And so if you have a neighbor that you trust, you have someone in the community that you trust, your child feels safe and comfortable with them, you know, it's okay. It's okay to say, yes, you know what, that really would relieve me of driving tonight, you know, and having a little bit of time to maybe catch up on laundry or to exercise or to just do something to take care of yourself and not forgetting that self-care. And so reaching out and accepting the help and support, because I think most people that you talk to, when you talk to them about military families, they want to help and they are looking for ways to provide support. And so when you allow the community to embrace you and allow the community to offer that support and then you accept it, it's a win-win. They feel good about helping you and, you know, you are able to accept that assistance gracefully. So
absolutely.
It's okay.
So let's take that a step further for some of our listeners who are not active duty military but want to be supportive of a family they know that has a service person. What advice do you have for those community members or families that might know someone and not be really sure how to be supportive of that family?
Right. Again, it depends from family to family. We've actually talked to some military children who they say, I don't want to be singled out. They say, I want to be treated just like everyone else. And so finding out what the needs are and the personality of that military family. You may have a family who they want to do just that. The child wants to ease into the school. They want to ease into the school team. They don't want anything that's going to single them out and make them feel different. Other families, though, they do it. Appreciate the acknowledgement of, hey, you know, this person has moved to the community. They are new, and we do want to go out of our way to make them feel welcome. And so I think just going back to that, you know, hospitality of reaching out and extending a helping hand, welcoming people. One of the examples that I recently heard from a military family, it was a Coast Guard family. The family had to relocate from the Northern Virginia area to San Francisco. And the oldest daughter, she was part of the cheerleading squad at her local high school here. And she was moving during the summer. And so she was really concerned, you know, am I going to be able to be on the cheerleading squad when I go to San Francisco? And so for us, all of the rest of us, being flexible and, you know, sometimes it's not the letter of the law, but it's the spirit of the law. And so even though there may have been a policy that said, okay, tryouts are only for 3 weeks prior to school starting, making an exception for that child to try out for the sports team and welcoming that child into the community. This particular child, she did a video tryout for the cheerleading squad. Her mother sent the video to the cheerleading squad in San Francisco, and she was accepted via her video tryout. And so when she arrived at the school, they had a huge banner welcoming her into the cheerleading community, welcoming her into the school. And so for her, that really made a huge difference. But again, every child is different, and there may be some who just want to quietly start blending in with the community. And so talking with the families, finding out what would make them feel comfortable, finding out what their needs are.
So that's a great example because it makes it very tangible. And I think we can hear how the mom was very creative in thinking about how to help her daughter with that transition. What can I do now that prepares her to sort of be able to hit the ground running, so to speak, in something that was really meaningful to the daughter.
Right.
But I also hear you saying the community was willing to sort of be flexible and accept that other alternative. And so it's important for us as community members to think about particularly that frequent transitions of how can we be a welcoming community that helps that family learn about opportunities here that they may not yet know about as quickly as possible so that
right.
they can decide what fits for them and what makes them feel at home in a quicker way.
Right.
We have just about a minute left. Is there a final message you wanted to leave with our listeners this morning?
I guess the final message would be is that if you are a military parent, if you are a military spouse, to know that you have what it takes. You have what it takes to make it. You have what it takes to be strong. And there's a lot of great support systems out there for you. To the greater community, what I would say is just to continue to embrace these families, continue to appreciate them for the wealth of knowledge and service that they bring to our communities, and to, again, extend that hand of hospitality and making them feel welcome and making them feel appreciated for their service, the entire family, not just the service member, but the children as well.
Great point. Thank you, Rebecca. Parents in military families have special needs above and beyond those facing the average parent. That's why they deserve support and services and should never be ashamed to ask for help. If you're a parent in the military community, we suggest contacting your Family Advocacy Program for news about support groups, workshops, counseling, and more. Get help to build your support system from professionals on base to friends, family members, and other military families. This will strengthen your resiliency and help your family manage the added stress, unexpected changes, and everyday challenges of raising children while serving in the military. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Rebecca Childress from Quantico Marine Base for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about supporting families in the military and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.